Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
How are you today?
I'm good. Glad to have you back, even though I loved having my daughter here last week.
I know. I saw the comments how people loved you and Savannah.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know what? She brings a fresh and young vibe to our podcast, so I like that.
Yes, because it sounds a little old when you're on.
Okay. Well.
Let's just kind of dive right in. There's so much going on. Now, of course, you know, Savannah did a post where she and Nick are officially split until this morning. So I don't know if they're split or if they're not split. But it's ironic. The whole purpose of bringing that up was that how people literally respond to things on social media. Now, you know, we just had an issue with Grayson that folks mm-hmm. you're going to see on the show regarding social media. And people will say, it's the craziest shit that people will say, oh, well, she only broke up with him because he's not an athlete anymore. He's an athlete his whole life because, I mean, you know, the guy, you know, works out and is athletic with everything he does. But at the end of the day, he hasn't been playing in how long? 2 years?
Yeah.
It's been 2 years since Nick played. So she clearly wasn't with him because he was an athlete.
Well, yeah, because he was already retired before they ever got engaged.
Right, exactly. So she clearly wasn't with him because he was an athlete. She clearly was not with him because she needs his money. She has her own money. And she's been doing television as long as Nick's been playing professional hockey. So at the end of the day, it's crazy. And then you have these thirsty ass thoughts coming on there.
I hate that word.
I don't care. You know what? Would you like me to say ho, whore, or thought?
Okay, neither one.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the one. You got these thirsty thoughts coming on there. Nick, you need a woman who has the same values as you. Ho, what values do you know he's got? What values do you know my daughter has? With your thirsty ass and your three kitty cats sitting on your lap in your profile pic. I mean, people need to stop. You don't know Nick. You don't know Savannah. You don't know us other than what you see on television. You see what we post on social media. But then you have an opinion, and I'm using this as an example, sitting in Idaho with your three followers, and you're going to come on there and talk shit. Now, I've left some of you alone because you're not worth me calling you out. But just beware, I see all. And I decide to respond to what I want to. So if you don't want me to shut that damn Instagram down, don't come for my daughter. Don't come for him. I mean, at the end of the day, whether they're together or whether they're not together, don't come for either one of them. Because if Nick leaves his family, he leaves his family with our blessing and goodwill and love that we will have for him forever. If he doesn't leave this family, that's Savannah's choice. But at the end of the day, their differences are their differences, and they will have to work those out. But you and I have made the decision that we're stepping away from that, correct?
Yes.
And we're not going to be involved in that relationship because at the end of the day, we've given all the advice that we can give, and either they take it or they don't. And one's 26, one's 23, and both of them have forgotten more about a relationship than me and Julie's ever known. So until they get out of their own way, they're not going to ever be able to make it. So, you know, with that being said, it is what it is. So you tabloids write all the bullshit you want to write about. You folks click on what you want to click on, but you ain't getting the truth. The truth lies within our family. And we're going to share that truth with whomever we feel is worthy enough of getting it. So there you go. Now let's jump on the Georgia Department of Revenue, because I've been off of that for a couple of weeks because I've been busy, folks, down there in Georgia. I have been busy. So I know all y'all listening to the podcast, Amy Doherty Hines, you better be listening. You better be listening, Amy. You should be listening because, you know, when y'all brought Amy Doherty Hines back on board after she's committed felonies, when you brought her back on board, I don't think that you were aware that the scheming and conniving that this woman was doing behind your back and behind all the folks within the Georgia Department of Revenue. But Amy, I certainly know what you were doing, and I have proof of it. So I think next week I'm going to post some stuff that Amy did. And we'll see kind of how she handles that with her coworkers that brought her back because they think she's so loyal to them. We now are in receipt of several emails between two Georgia Department of Revenue employees and someone outside of the Georgia Department of Revenue. And this information that we have, it's not shocking to me, but it's going to be shocking, I think, to everyone that has followed this. And it shows the relationship and the level that these people went to try to take me and my family down, lying, breaking federal law, manipulating emails, changing federal documents, and they all were working hand in hand. So we now have those emails, and we're waiting on the Attorney General, the AG's office, to turn these emails over because we want to match them up to what we already have because, you know, they've been sitting on a lot of information that they claim they've given, that they've turned over to all of us, but they haven't. And we're aware of it, Alex. We're aware that you have information that you're sitting on because we already have it. So I have instructed my attorneys as of this morning that they are to file a lawsuit against the Attorney General's office for violating the Open Records Act, to which they have prosecuted people. The AG's office and Chris Carr has prosecuted people for government officials for violating the Open Records Act in the state of Georgia. But yet they are doing it themselves now. So I have asked my attorneys this morning that I want them to file a federal lawsuit against the AG's office for what they're doing and the information that they have failed to turn over, that we can now prove that they withheld this information knowing that it was in favor of us and showed what the Department of Revenue had done and their cooperation and participation with other agencies.
So this year's back to school is leaving many parents wondering, how do we do this? I know I have a second grader at home, and distance learning is way easier said than done. So if distance learning is anything like it was last year, you know you need a proven solution. And it's proving that this is continuing on and on and on. So that's why we all need Laurel Springs. For nearly 30 years, Laurel Springs has been bringing their expertise to distance learning. From kindergarten through 12th grade and beyond, Laurel Springs' student-centered experience is a framework for each learner's path and pace. In addition, Laurel Springs offers specialized programs for academically driven students desiring advanced and accelerated instruction through its academy at Laurel Springs, as well as postgraduate courses for those seeking an enriching gap year experience. And since Laurel Springs is fully accredited, their transcripts are recognized by colleges and universities worldwide. So take control of your child's education. Enroll today at laurelsprings.com/cc and receive a waived registration fee. That's laurelsprings.com/cc for a waived registration fee. Laurel Springs, L-A-U-R-E-L, SPRINGS.com/CC.
That's kind of where we are right now. Josh Waits, let's not forget Josh Waits, because, you know, we found out last week, we got some phone records and we got some email records from Michael Lambrose, an attorney that was functioning as a DA. I don't actually know what the relationship between Michael Lambrose as a DA, or he's a special investigator for the DA's office, or a special prosecutor, whatever he was. And his relationship, we now have, I think it's 17, 18, 19 emails between someone from our side and from our family that had been communicating with him since May of 2017, I believe. So we now have those emails. And this Michael Lambrose was in bed with Josh Waits doing all the crooked stuff that was being done with this slush fund and seizing people's assets in the state of Georgia, assets going missing, etc. Now, you know, at the end of the day, I'm repeating what I've been told. I mean, now we already have the log of the emails. We know when they were sent. We know the content of the emails, and the attorney-client privilege did not apply, because this individual that sent these emails never paid him to represent them and was only getting free legal advice from him in exchange for giving lies to the Georgia Department of Revenue and Josh Waits. And Josh Waits hooked this individual up with Lambrose. So we have all that information, and we've now tied it all together. And, you know, it is going to all come out, because all these people are being deposed. Phone records have now started flooding in, and the information that we have received on these phone records has been absolutely astounding. God has been so good to us with the information that we have found. And it's also been heartbreaking over some of the information that we have found. But that heartbreak, really, we've already worked through, because we knew what we were dealing with a long time ago. So now it's just the corroboration of what we already knew. So I think that's the update that I have for you. We did receive some information this week regarding email information within the DOR, of where they acknowledge, one of their own attorneys acknowledges, that the Georgia Department of Revenue, that this attorney is concerned over OSI and how they're handling their cases, and that the line between criminal and civil is often blurred, and that they believe that it's a violation of people's civil rights. Now, this is an attorney within the Georgia Department of Revenue that raised these concerns regarding their own Office of Special Investigations. So all of that information has been flooding in, and the information that we've received, particularly three emails, it was so, I mean, my attorneys were like thrilled when they got this information. But it's very troubling, folks, that we live in a country to where the government can actually manipulate and withhold information and not turn it over to you because they're trying to hide their own corruption. But I'm sure that's not a shock to people in this world. But what has been dumped on us in the last week has been shocking. And the information that came yesterday was shocking. So, you know, I'm going to leave it at that and I'm going to move on. But I want to thank each and every person that continues to still reach out to us about the Georgia Department of Revenue and about their affiliation with other government agencies and how they handle people's tax information and how they're pulling people's tax returns and handing it to other government agencies, because that government official cannot pull that information because there's too many stops in place that would prevent that. It's scary as to what can happen to people in this country when you've got people like this in power doing what they do. So with that being said, thank you all, and thank you, ML, for dumping this information over to us. We will forever, ever be grateful. First caller, please.
Todd and Julie, it's Ashley from Tustin, California again. I have brought it up to him beforehand, and again, it just doesn't end up going anywhere. I tell him that I don't like him, and, you know, due to the reasons I told you. He told me that, you know, he's changed, he's gotten his stuff together, and that I should give him a chance. And I agreed to this because I feel like I should agree to give him one more chance. And I told him, I said, if you want me to be okay with this friend, if you want me to like him, then you need to show me that he has changed. He's not the same person that screwed us over. Excuse my French. But I don't know, Todd. I just have this gut, and you told me to trust it, but I just need a little more here. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Hi, Ashley from California. Hope you're staying safe. I know it's crazy right now out there. This is a follow-up phone call to, I think, her relationship and somebody that her partner had brought in or a friend of hers.
You know, I think that, Ashley, listen, I told you to listen to your gut. And people can come in and say, I've changed. We deal with people like this every day of our life. Change does not, the person who needs to change doesn't get to tell you that they've changed and you take it at face value. People that are looking to change make it so obvious by the things that they do and the way that they treat you that they don't have to say a word. You will be their best advertisement for change. You will be the person who will recognize the change first because you've been the one who's been offended. So at the end
of I think change is more than just making this immediate switch. Change comes along when it's for the long haul.
Exactly. And, you know, just because someone says I've changed doesn't mean they've changed. You need to sit back, watch, and see. And the moment that he gets pissed off because you don't tell him and stroke his ego and whatever and tell him 9,683 times what a great job he did on taking the trash out, that's going to show you he hadn't changed. Because recognition for good deeds comes at the person's will who perceived it as a good deed and who feels like that they are in a place now to where they're seeing that change evolve. If you don't see it, don't speak it. Good luck. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Julie. How you doing? This is Chris from Indianapolis, Indiana. Want to say that we love the show, we love the family, and we love everything you stand for and do. My question for you is this. I have three children. My oldest is 19, soon to be 20. He'll be 20 next month, actually. And though I'm ready for him to move on and transition out on his own, I'm having a problem with his growth and his maturity. My question is for Todd, what can I do to put him on the path of that growth and maturity other than what me and my wife have already been doing for 19 years? We want him to move on. We want him to be successful. We want him to be happy, and we want him to become his own man and one day have his own family. But I know he's not ready to transition from our home because of his lack of growth and maturity. So what can we do to get him prepared to move on? Because he can't live here forever. He can't stay with us forever. And I know one day, and that day is coming soon, to where he has to move on. So what can we do to prepare him to move on? We are Chris Leites. We love you. We're praying for you. Thank you.
Hi, Chris from Indiana. I'm going to put my little spiel on it first, and then Todd can elaborate. First of all, thank you guys so much for listening and for watching. I would tell you that as a mother to boys, that maturity does not come. I don't believe it comes at 19 years old. I can tell you just from being completely honest with you that I am just now, over the past 6 months, seeing Chase start to mature. And he's 24. He's just getting the picture, just understanding, you know, what life is really about, what's important. And I can see that maturity happening every day with him. But it did not, Chris, happen at 19. You know, it sounds like you and your wife have done an amazing job. You have stuck in there, and it's hard. And I know, you know, you're like, okay, I've done my job, and I'm ready for you to kind of move on to the next thing. I'm ready for you to become independent, and I'm ready for you to go out, live your life, be successful. But sometimes 19 is just not it. So I would tell you to, yes, encourage him. Encourage him to have a plan, whether that's education, whether that's having a job, a career, whatever it is. I would encourage you to encourage him to continue doing that, to move forward. And I think along with that comes responsibility. You start adding more responsibility to his plate so that it's not an all of a sudden, you know, here you go, you're out in the world and you have all this responsibility and you've never been given any of it at home, because I know that I'm guilty of this too. It's just easier to do it.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, Julie actually gave Grayson at 14 years old, she gave him the responsibility of taking the trash out.
He had that's 14, a huge,
but he never did it.
Okay. Well, he does do it now.
Why does he do it now?
Because it's required of
him. But tell Chris why he's doing it now.
Because his dad got on him.
I lost my shit. And what did he do?
And he does trash.
What did he do in his bedroom?
He literally has a post-it note up in his bedroom. Don't forget to take the trash out. So when he goes in his bedroom and closes the door, if he sees that note, it reminds him, oh my gosh, did I take the trash out?
Chris, you can't be laying up in my house with no job, hair on your ass, and not be taking the trash out, not be doing your part. Because at the end of the day, we all have a part. My part is to educate you, feed you, clothe you, make sure you got proper medical care, and most of all, to love you unconditionally with everything that I have. I do all of the above. You're going to take the trash out. You're going to pick up your room. And if you can't, then I can pay a boarding school and you can do it there. But at the end of the day, 19, did he say if this kid's in school at 19?
He didn't. He just said that he's 19. Yes.
Okay, Chris, if he's 19, now you got to give him some grace at 19. But if he's 19 and he's not in school, he's got to be on a job, because he needs to understand that what kind of job he can go out here and get right now compared to what he can get if he goes to school. So he needs to see the gap between the two. And he needs to learn that, okay, you're 19 years old. You've decided to not go to school, not to put yourself in a position to better yourself and to be better than what your mother and I are that raised you. So then I'm going to need you to get a job. And you got one room in this house. We got 12 rooms. The mortgage payment is this amount. So I'm going to take 12 and divide it into that number. Then I'm going to take one and divide it into that number. And that's what your rent's going to be. Because he has to learn now that there's a consequence for every decision that he makes. So if he's not in school, he's got to be on a job and he's got to be pulling his own weight. So, you know, I hope that helps you. Don't be pushing him towards having no family and all that. Because, Chris, let me tell you what's going to happen. They're going to all be living with you.
No, Chris said he is not ready for any of that yet.
Yeah, Chris, don't be doing that, because they're going to all be laid up in your house with your grandbaby and everything else. And guess what? You're going to love that grandbaby more than you do your own kids. So therefore, you ain't going to throw them out, because then the baby's got to go somewhere.
And guess what? We're speaking from experience.
Amen. So
good luck, Chris, and keep us updated. So now that fall is almost upon us, who doesn't want to get pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door? With HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, it's possible. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for an easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make, with simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips, so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. I've talked to you guys before. We love HelloFresh on a busy weeknight. This is something that Grayson, Chloe, and I do together. They can read the recipe, follow along, have the pictures, and because everything is already pre-portioned and measured out, I don't have to worry about them putting in a little extra this or not enough of that. HelloFresh offers many delicious options every week to help you break out of the recipe rut and try new things. And I also love this because I do feel like sometimes I get in a rut of just making the same things over and over. So HelloFresh is nice to complement the meals that I've already thought about for the week. There's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and kid-friendly recipes. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made of recyclable and are already recycled content. I love the fact that it comes in the bag. We put the other stuff right down in that bag after we open it and put it into whatever we're making, and then it all just goes right in the trash, so it's a much smaller footprint. Keep your fridge stocked by adding extra proteins or sides like garlic bread to your weekly order. You can easily exchange your daily days or food preferences, or even skip a week whenever you need. HelloFresh is committed to making fresh, delicious meals available now more than ever, and has taken extra steps to help its employees and customers safe, including contactless delivery, tamper-proof packaging, and team member wellness checks. Go to HelloFresh.com/Confessions80 and use code Confessions80 to get a total of $80 off your first month, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details.
Next caller, please.
Hi, Julie. Hi, Savannah. My name is Marcella, and I'm going through breast cancer right now. Any good advice?
Hi, Marcella. Thanks for calling in. Do I have any good advice? My good advice for anybody going through any adversity is to, A, try to find the silver lining. Try to surround yourself with good people who are going to be uplifting to you, to take care of yourself, make you a priority. Know that everyone's breast cancer is different, everyone's illness is different, and that it may take you longer to get through it than others, but you can do it. And that's my thing. Never lose that faith. Know that God has you, and no matter what we go through, you're going to come out on the other side.
Marcella, breast cancer. Let me just tell you from a man's perspective who was in love with his wife from the day that I married Julie, was devastated the same day she got her diagnosis, and have lived. I truly believe that I have, you know, PTSD, because I mean, I still live with that fear. And if she has an ache, you just pulled a muscle. What was it last week?
Yes, in my arm.
And what did I do?
Oh no, we like went to the doctor. I had it checked. I mean, you know, because it's always in the back of your mind, no matter what, it's always there.
And you know, I hope and pray to God that He blesses you with a full and quick recovery. But what I do know is that my faith became so much stronger going through the breast cancer with Julie than it's ever been, and it continues to grow, thank God. But if you put your faith in the Lord and you walk in faith, not fear, you're going to come out on the other side, because God is going to cover you. He's going to place His hand of protection on you, and He's going to cover you. He will build a protective hedge around you if you ask for it, and God will not let Satan win. So you... please stay in touch with us and let us know how you're doing. You didn't give us a lot of information. You didn't tell me what stage you are, you know, what size the tumor is, if there's lymph node involvement. So I really can't comment to give you any of the advice, any of the knowledge that I have over all these since 2012. But if you call me back and give me that information, I'll do my best to get you answers on anything that you need. Next caller, please.
Hey, Pat and Julie. My name is Kristen, and I'm from Kingsport, Tennessee. So this coronavirus stuff has took a lot of things from me. We've had to postpone our wedding. I'm not going to get a college graduation ceremony or a nursing pinning ceremony. So there's been a lot of hardships that I've had to go through the past few months. But my question for you guys today is, right now me and my fiance are contemplating buying a house because he's a power lineman. He has a really good, stable job. I've already accepted a job on a medical surgical ICU in Northeast Tennessee. So we both have jobs that we're able to be sufficient and buy a house on our own. But my parents have reserves about us immediately jumping into a mortgage payment and are encouraging us to maybe think about renting somewhere for a few years before we immediately jump into a house payment, which I do understand their side of it because I am just now graduating college and we're just now getting married. But from Todd's perspective as a realtor, I just wanted to know how you felt about our situation. If you would encourage us to maybe rent for a while and build our financial situation together as a married couple, or do you think it's a good idea for us to maybe go ahead and invest our money in the house? I should mention I have already been pre-approved for a home loan. Just wanted to know what you guys think about that, and I listen to your podcast every single week, so I hope this makes it to you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Kristen. Okay, now there's several, you got several questions in this one question. One, you are now graduating college. Your fiance is a lineman.
Has a stable job.
Huge congratulations to that. And your parents are saying that they think you should rent for a couple of years before you make the decision to buy. Okay, now I'm going to tell you from my perspective that I don't want my children renting. I want them owning. And if you two are getting married, this is going to be your marital home, then and you can afford to do this, then I think that you absolutely should do that. Because if you divorce, you're getting 50% of whatever's there, and you're building equity from the day that you buy to where if you get married and live in an apartment, all you got to do is get out of the lease, and you're walking away from all that money that you've done spent. So I am in agreement that you should probably buy a house, but here's the caveat, Kristen. Here's the big but. I'm wondering why your parents are suggesting that y'all rent before you buy. Are they on board with this marriage? Do they feel like your fiance is going to be contributing the same amount that you're going to be contributing? Do they feel like that he's kind of riding your coattails and that, you know, you're going to have more money into this, or that he can't get the loan for a house right now? What is the real deal as to why they don't want you buying this house?
Right. And I think, Kristen, that you have to really sit down and look at your down payment. Do you guys have a sufficient down payment? And then start comparing what kind of house you can afford and what your mortgage payment would be versus what your rent payment would be. And I think you will find, I have several people that I've talked to that asked me for advice. And once they really sit down and look at the numbers, if they have their down payment, the mortgage payment more times than none is within a couple hundred dollars of what their rent is. So it's like, okay, do I forego Starbucks and one meal out a month to own something? Or do I continue renting? So I would say really sit down, go over your finances, both of you, what you can contribute and what you can actually afford comfortably. There is nothing worse than having a financial burden on a brand new relationship and marriage.
Amen.
So I would say make sure that you are not going to be house poor. And what I mean by that is that you are trying to buy a house that is more than you can actually afford, or at the very max. There's no reason to do that. You guys are starting out. That's why they call them a starter home. like Todd said, you build equity. It's also, there's some tax advantages to owning a home versus renting a home that will help you guys with your taxes. But I do believe maybe Todd and Kristen, I hope that you call us back and make sure and let us know who you are and what you had called about before. And just fill us in a little bit so that we can kind of help with this. Good luck and God bless.
Next caller, please.
Hello, y'all. I was just wondering how you deal with a bad breakup. You know, I've been dealing with a bad breakup for over 5 months. Thank you.
Julie, go ahead and jump in there.
All right. Bad breakup. How do you deal with a bad breakup? I think when you deal with a bad breakup, you have to... I think really examine what got you to that point. I think you have to take responsibility for what you did to contribute to that breakup, because I never believe that it's just one person. And then I think you have to learn from the experience. You have to own it, and then you have to move forward. And moving forward doesn't necessarily mean moving forward with someone else. It means moving forward, learning from your mistakes. Why did I get to this place in this relationship? What can I do not to get to that place again with the next person? And I'm okay to date myself for a while.
Amen. Now, where did you learn that? Date yourself.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know where you learned it from.
Oh, please.
You have to be able to be good with just being with you. And, you know, this bad breakup that you have, I mean, it's that you've been struggling with. I mean, honey, listen, move on. You're blocking blessings right now. When you're trying to hold on to something that God didn't mean for you to have to begin with, you're blocking the blessing that he's trying to send you. So let go, let God do his thing, but you've got to be open to receive it. So learn to love you before you expect someone else to. Because let me tell you something, the level that you love yourself should be no less than what you expect from the person that you plan to spend the rest of your life with. Good luck and God bless. Next caller, please.
So I was just wondering, what is your favorite recipe to cook and the most easiest one for a family of four with growing boys? Because you know you're used to that. Love you guys. Thank you.
Okay, perfect recipe to cook. You know, I have a lot of recipes that I love to cook. One of my family's favorite is a roast. They love for me to make a roast in the crock pot. That's a sirloin tip roast. I'm actually making chicken enchiladas tonight, and I make those with a rotisserie chicken. So it makes it easier. But I am working on some really, really exciting things to be able to bring more of my cooking and more of my recipes to you guys. So please, please, please stay on the lookout for that. You can also go to chrisley.usanetwork.com and go to What's Cooking with Julie, and you can actually see some recipes that I've done. So go and check those out and let me know what you think. Since this whole COVID-19, I have been cooking now more than ever. As much as I love cooking, I hate the cleanup. I hate that it's so time consuming. And I hate to have to use so many different appliances in my kitchen because A, they take up space, and B, I have to clean them up. And that's why I am so excited about our new partner, the Power XL Air Fryer Grill. It has taken me a while to get on this air fryer grill train, but if I had known what I was missing, I would have gotten on so much sooner. You can replace 8 kitchen appliances with the Power XL. It's an air fryer, a grill, rotisserie, convection oven, pizza oven, griddle, deep fryer, and toaster oven all in one. The Power XL cooks with hot air, not oil, so you can cook healthier with up to 70% fewer calories from fat. I love the fact that it is truly an all-in-one, and you can cook for the whole family. It fits almost 4 times more food than a traditional air fryer and cooks much faster to save time. And I do think that's one of the reasons why I was so hesitant, was because the ones I'd seen before were so small and I have a large family. But with the Power XL, that's taken away. I have plenty of room. I have leftover room. So you can even char grill and air fry at the same time, plus enjoy fried foods without the guilt. And I love that fact. The secret is the heating elements from above, the side, and below the grill plate, combined with turbo blades that are angled to distribute the heat evenly throughout the entire cooking service. And this also helps when you are making something so it's getting done on the top, on the bottom, not just burning on the top. It's almost like they sat down, thought about the problems with cooking appliances, and decided to start solving them. And that's why it's the number one brand of air fryers in the U.S. I've made chicken, I've used the rotisserie, and everything has come out perfectly. So peace of mind of simply setting a button and walking away. The Power XL Air Fryer comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Right now, they have an exclusive offer just for Chrisley Confessions listeners. If you go to trypowerxl.com and use the code CC, you'll receive 10% off plus free shipping and a free cookbook. Head to trypowerxl.com and use the code CC one last time for this incredibly affordable deal. Trypowerxl.com and use code CC. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. I just love you and your show and your family. I am Natasha from Ocala, Florida, and I just have a little bit of a dilemma. I wanted to say, like, I love how you cook it, Chloe. I am also biracial, and my grandparents, they were a big part of my life. If anything, I consider them my parents. I consider that my, you know, my other parents, they tried their best. You know, when my parents couldn't always be there, my grandparents were. So I wanted to call you because I'm engaged now, and I'm working on, you know, planning a wedding and all this jazz, and my mother and father divorced, and I'm best friends with my dad. Like, we talk every day. I love him. But my mother, we just have not had a good relationship, honestly, because when I was 3, she met a boyfriend, she moved in with him, he was abusive, he was verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, and he got physical, he is an alcoholic, and he's been this way my whole entire childhood, and so hard to understand, like, why my mother would want to stay there, and she would let him, you know, abuse me, and just sit there and say, I don't know what to do, let me, you're being disrespectful. And, you know, I confided in people when I was younger, and I moved out when I was 15 and moved in with my grandma. Fast forward, recently when I went to go visit, because I tried to rekindle a relationship, I'm 23 now, I tried to rekindle a relationship with him, and unfortunately he brought out a gun in an argument with my mother. I was there, I called the cops, I mean, he is now a convicted felon, but now my mom still stays there, she likes to stay there, and she's like, you know, it's hard for me to talk to you and your fiancé, you know, about the wedding stuff, because he'll hear me. And I just want to get some advice on what to do. I want to do mother-daughter trips. I want to have a relationship with them. But it just seems like I won't. And I guess I just live vicariously through my own children when I have them. But I just wish I could do it with my own mother and sister, you know? But if you can just give me some advice. Thank you. I love you guys. Bye.
Hi, Natasha from Ocala, Florida. Congratulations on your engagement. Complicated relationship with your mother. I'm going to give you how I truly feel. There are people in your life that you have to accept them for what they are willing and able to give you at the moment. Does not make it right. I think as a 23-year-old smart young woman, you have to make the decision if what your mother is capable and willing to give you at this point, as far as a relationship, if that is enough for you, then it's enough. But I also believe that you have to guard your own heart because your mother has shown you who and what she is.
Amen.
She has put this man in front of you. She has put you in harm's way by having you around someone who is, you know, has a gun and alcohol issue and whatever, abusive. So at this point, as a 23-year-old woman, you have to now take matters into your own hands. You're not that same little girl that your mother walked away from at 3 years old. Doesn't mean you give up on your mother, but I think sometimes you have to love people from a distance And it sounds like in this
case. And it's 100% true. Listen, it is the craziest thing because, you know, people will ask me all the time, you know, Todd, you've dealt with betrayal. You know, you've dealt with, you know, with things that have gone on in your own family. You know, you've done this and you've done that. And how do you deal with it? You have to love from a distance. You don't have to respond. You know, mental illness is a big thing, you know, today. And I think it was, you know, when we were growing up, we just didn't know. People didn't know. And, it, you know, you just said, oh, they're crazy as hell. And that's whatever. But, you know, when it hits your own family, you know, now, thank God, we're further along with that. You know how to deal with it. You try to know how to deal with it. But at the end of the day, when people tell you and they show you who they are time and time and time again, God says that we have to forgive in order to be forgiven. But he does not say you've got to invite your enemy into your home, set them a place at your table, and allow them to attack you again. Sometimes things that people do to you are so egregious that you know they can never be in your presence ever again. And that does, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a parent, a child, a cousin, a coworker, whatever. Sometimes the things that people do are so egregious that they can never be in your presence again. Not in your home, not riding shotgun in a car with you, not on the phone in a conversation with you, because these people have proven that they will do whatever they need to do to take you out, or that keeping you safe is not their priority because it interferes with their personal agenda. So at the end of the day, you said you have a great relationship with your grandparents.
And her dad.
And because they were like your parents. My thing is, and I think it's great that you've got a relationship, great relationship with your dad. But in order for you to be that close to your grandparents, it tells me that they were more of a parent, mom and dad to you than your own mom and daddy. So your mom and dad obviously fell short of doing what God said they should have done when he entrusted you to them, which was to raise you in a home, teach you good, decent, honest, moral values, to put a roof over your head, to educate you and to raise you to become a good, decent human being, which it sounds like you are. But at the end of the day, your mother needs to be given grace because God shares grace with you each day. But God does not say to enter into a relationship with people with your eyes closed. It's eyes wide open. So she's shown you who she is. Love her from a distance, have proper boundaries, and move on with your life. Because you can never grab what's in front of you if you've got both hands on what's behind you.
Right. And that's exactly what I was going to say, Natasha. You are engaged to be married. You're planning a wedding. I would also say if you don't have a counselor, if you don't have somebody that you can talk to, I think it's very, very, very important for you to start that healing process of putting your relationship with your mother into its proper perspective and place so that you're going into your marriage as whole as you possibly can be. So good luck and God bless. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. My name is Grace and I'm a 23-year-old college student from Texas. And I had a couple questions for y'all. My first question is, how do I explain to my older conservative parents that even though I really appreciate and value the way I was raised, I'm not taking everything I was taught into adulthood. As a young adult, I tend to show a little more skin by wearing some revealing clothes, and I go to bars with my friends occasionally. I was raised Southern Baptist, so drinking and revealing clothes were definitely a no. I wasn't even allowed to wear a two-piece swimsuit until I was almost a junior in high school. Since I don't live in the same town as my parents and they don't pay for my lifestyle, there really isn't an issue until we meet up. And they don't like what I wear, and I get backhanded compliments or just insults about how I look in the clothes. For a while, I changed to whatever made them happy, even if I didn't feel comfortable or beautiful in it. I'm tired of hearing things like when I'm on the phone with my mom and I tell her that I'm going out with friends and she tells me to look and dress nice, but not like a slut. I have an older sister by 6 years, and she's always been more conservative than me. I mean, wearing tank tops backwards so she won't even have the opportunity to show any cleavage. I'm the complete odd man out in my family. I feel like if I continue going down the path of changing
things about myself to make them happy, I'm going to be doing it for the rest of my life. I love my family, and they're some of the most important people in my life, but they have the mentality that their opinions are right and everyone else is wrong. Thanks. My second question is, what is some advice you would give a girl coming to meet the parents for the first time? I'm asking because throughout my time watching the shows and seeing interviews, Todd, I think you've mentioned that you've never cared for a girl Chase has brought home. If I'm wrong, I'm really sorry. But I just wanted to know, what are some of y'all's do's and don'ts for meeting a boy's family? Thank you. Love you both.
Hey, Grace. You know, Southern Baptist. We're both Southern Baptists. And Judah was raised by a Southern Baptist father who is a preacher. Let's just talk about the clothing. I don't believe clothing makes you a slut, makes you a whore, whatever. No more than I believe that a woman should be raped because she's got on a miniskirt and a tank top with no bra on under it. I mean, you as a woman should be allowed to feel comfortable in what you're wearing, but I do believe that there's a time and a place for everything. And I have always lived by the philosophy that less is more. So I believe that you can still feel good and sexy without everyone seeing what you have. I mean, I think that, you know, women sometimes, yes, we love to see a woman with no clothes on. We love to see a woman who's dressed provocatively. That does it for us. It stimulates us. But what really works is, if you want to keep a man's attention, you make him wonder what's under there. That's what's going to keep him coming back. You don't screw him the first time you go out with him, you know, dinner, tea, and dessert, and you're the dessert. You know, you make a man work for it. And if a man has to work for something, if a man has to work to pay his mortgage every month, he takes pride in keeping his lawn up. If a man can buy dinner for you and then go straight to the bedroom with you, guess what? You cost him dinner. He was going to eat anyway. So now he's got to figure out if you're good enough for the next date or if he needs to find another dinner companion. So at the end of the day, I understand where your parents are coming from, that they want you to dress more conservatively. Listen, Savannah's worn some gowns to award shows. I think there was one that I did not like. And hell, everybody raved over it. But just because everyone raved over it didn't make me feel any better. I did not want to see my daughter out there with her boobs hanging out and all that. And she and I had war over that. Do you remember that? The black dress?
I do.
And then because the press and Vogue and everyone else just gave her shouting accolades over being so daring and courageous. What was daring and courageous about showing your tits? There was nothing daring and courageous about that. But because social media and the press deem it as okay, then we as parents are supposed to think it's okay. No, I don't take my parenting tips from the press.
I think the answer to her second question is about meeting your boyfriend's parents. I think as
don't
much
come
as
in
you
there
don't
with your
want
tits
to,
hanging
Grace,
out.
you gotta channel your mom and daddy, their wishes, when you go to meet. Because I can tell you that when I meet anybody that's going to be with my child, I want to know that they are in it for the right reasons, that they are a good, decent person, that they know how to conduct themselves. So revealing clothes would not be something you would wear.
No. And you've asked about, you know, you said you wanted to apologize, you know, that if you misquoted that, you know, Chase has never brought home any girls that we liked. That's not a misquote.
Until now.
Yeah. I mean, now with Emmy, we love her. And there was one other that I liked, and then I found out she was batshit crazy, and then after that, she's got to move on. But, you know, the rest of them have been hoes. I mean, they left the stage the night before, and then he walked them in. But he didn't do that. They didn't get no further in our kitchen, did they?
No.
I said, nah, you need to take that trick back where you found her. I said, because she ain't putting her feet under your mama's table. So, you know, don't go up in somebody's mom and daddy's house showing everything you got, because the daddy's going to automatically look at you and say, this is a good time, girl. At the end of the day, cover yourself up before you walk into their house and treat them with respect. You done been raised by Southern Baptists. You know what you need to do. Now, with that being said, I'm not saying that you've got to have, you know, button all the way up to your neck and a skirt to the floor and sleeves all the way to the top of your wrist and a chastity belt on. Next caller, please.
Hi. I'm just wondering what it was like for the other kids when Kyle came back into their life. Like, what was that like for Savannah and Chase and Grayson? Thank you. Love you guys.
Very slow, because Kyle had caused a lot of damage and a lot of harm to the family. And they have all taken their time on deciding what kind of relationship they wanted to have with Kyle. Now, they all have a very good relationship right now, but they also all have boundaries right now. So, you know, I think that when you go through what Kyle has gone through and what we've gone through as a family, that you love each other, but that doesn't mean that you've got to be foolish with your love and with your heart. And so, you know, right now, Kyle is still, you know, he's kind of toeing the rope. I mean, he's doing what he needs to do, and he's clean, and he's respectful and kind, and he's a good, decent human being now. And you know, he was then. It's just that, you know, when you're on drugs, that's all that matters to you. And there was a lot of harm caused by Kyle. And so, you know, he's having to make amends for that. But, you know, listen, once you go to someone and you apologize and you ask for their forgiveness, they either forgive it or they don't. And if they don't, then they've chosen to carry that, not you, because you've unburdened yourself from it. So I hope that answers your question. You know, folks, we're out of time right now, but I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in to Chrisley Knows Best. Again, best ratings that the show has had, you know, in two seasons. And we thank y'all for that. You know, you've got the second part of season 8 that's coming up in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another, what, 12, 14 episodes, something like that?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. And so those are going to be very honest, truthful, heartfelt episodes. And I think you guys are going to learn a lot from them. So we thank each and every one of you from the bottom of our hearts for doing what you've done for us. And we hope that we're a blessing to you all. Until next week, good luck and God bless.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.